Water. Everything in Colorado comes down to water. Who needs it, who has it, who uses it, and when. Through climate change, population growth, and increasing development, water remains the resource everyone needs most, but there's rarely enough to go around. And every major watershed in Colorado faces their own unique challenges around these issues. Sometimes our challenges are unique, and sometimes they overlap, but they are all important. Thank you for joining us on the Big River Podcast as we explore the stories of the Upper Rio Grande Basin, stories of people trying to live, work, and enjoy the water systems of the San Luis Valley. Hello, and welcome to the very first episode of the Big River Podcast, Stories from the Rio Grande. Specifically, we're talking about the Upper Rio Grande watershed in the San Luis Valley of Southern Colorado. My name is Bethany Howell, and I have the privilege of being the Public Education, Participation, and Outreach Liaison for the Rio Grande Basin Roundtable. And I'm so excited to have you guys tuning in for our very first episode, my very first attempt at a podcast, so apologies in advance. But really what we're trying to do is give a little glimpse of the basin that we live in through the stories, the issues that are affecting not only the entire state of Colorado, but how those issues then affect us here in the Rio Grande Basin. So we know that there's a lot of exciting and amazing things that are happening across the state of Colorado, and this is our small way of trying to connect how those bigger water issues are really impacting the people who live and work and play and just spend our lives here in the Rio Grande Basin. Not only the water administrators and the farmers and ranchers, but also just all the people in our community, school teachers, bankers, people who work at our grocery stores. This will be an interesting first dive. I wanted to start off with something a little more light for our first topic, but really looking at one of the projects here in the San Luis Valley that have to do with recreation. With me to introduce today's podcast is Del Norte sixth grader Morgan Howell.
On today's episode, learning about the Del Norte Riverfront Project, talking to people out on the river and learning about the project from Emma Reeser, Executive Director of the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project.
I really love the sound of water running in Colorado in the summer. A lot of us that love living in Colorado in the summer, there's a lot of us that enjoy visiting Colorado in the summer for these reasons. And so that's what I want to explore in today's podcast is the joy of recreation and what that really means to a community. A lot of times some of our recreation projects can sometimes feel a little frivolous. In the grand scheme of things, there's all this climate change happening. There's a lot of aging infrastructure that needs to be addressed. So why spend funds? Why spend time on recreation projects? And the Colorado Water Plan recognized that recreation is really important, not only for the tourist economy, but just for our own state of mind. And so today I want to explore a little bit about what a particular project is doing in the town of Del Norte, which, pronunciation disclaimer, I realize that it looks like it should be pronounced Del Norte, but if you're from the valley or you live here, you know it's pronounced Del Norte, and just know that that's a local pronunciation. But the Del Norte Riverfront Project is a really great example of people in the community and organizations working together and recognizing that that quality of life for a community is really important. And as I was putting together this podcast and thinking about it, I spent a lot of time down at the Play Wave at the Riverfront Project and talked with a lot of the people who were enjoying it there. And so we'll hear a little bit from some of those people. I'll talk about it a little bit later, but I do want to start having us think about that mind frame of recreation and the quality of life and the space that we need as humans to connect with nature, for our kids to connect with nature, to enjoy being out on our natural resources and having those resources give us something back. So we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I do want to say, as we're getting into our interviews, that I did respect the fact that we're in COVID-19 social distancing requirements. I spent all my time with interviews outside, so I apologize for the ambient noise that were occurring. But I did want people to know that we were trying to adhere to that, and that was actually one of the best things about starting this podcast is being able to be outside and talking to people and really looking at the fun spaces that we have around us in the San Luis Valley. So I'm going to start off with interviewing Emma Reeser. As was mentioned, she is the executive director of the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project, and along with the Del Norte Trails Organization and the City of Del Norte, was really instrumental in getting this play wave constructed and all of the river features in connection with Riverbend Engineering. Emma came to the Valley about the same time that my family and I did. She has been here since 2013, and she has been working with the Restoration Project that entire time, has been absolutely rocking it. She is getting ready to have her own first child, and so we'll talk to her a little bit about what that's going to be like, having a family with the recreation opportunities that she has definitely been instrumental in getting out there. My family and I actually moved to Del Norte 4 years ago because of the play wave, really, with the focus on recreation that Del Norte has and the amazing space that it is. We had lived in Alamosa for a few years before that and really wanted to be closer to the mountains and the rivers that we love to recreate on, and Del Norte has just been a wonderful community to be part of personally. So I'm going to talk with Emma now a little bit about the technical aspects of the project. All right, so Emma, I have been spending a lot of time out at the play wave the last few days, and it's been really exciting because there are so many different people who are using it. Like every afternoon, there have been a group of like 13-year-old, 12-year-old boys jumping around and playing. So I'm wondering, now that you're looking at becoming a parent yourself for the first time, how does that make you feel about raising your family in the Valley and being part of such a big project that has community value?
Yeah, it's been really fun to just think about the future and looking towards. It's been really fun to see families out enjoying the river and really kids of all ages, everyone down to toddlers splashing in the water with their parents, all the way up to kids and adults swimming and fishing and boating. And so it's been really fun to think about our family and our new baby and how in the future we can be out there using it and introducing our
him or her, since we don't really know.
Yeah,
it's a surprise,
our child to the river. And so it's been really fun for me to think about throughout my pregnancy the things that we'll share together, and that's definitely something that I'm excited to do, is get out on the river and share that with them.
Yeah, because it is a really special memory. And I was thinking about the ways that my family connected to the outdoors and recreation, and I grew up in Texas, so I didn't necessarily have the river in my backyard, but we did a couple of trips when I was in junior high, and one was fairly memorable because it was on the Llano River, and it was a canoe trip, and my sisters and I were all pretty close in age, so my oldest was like 14 and all the way down to 7, and my parents weren't that comfortable with the water, but they wanted to give us an experience, and so it was really fun. There was a lot of, you know, flipping the canoe over. But it's something that I think back on now is like, wow, that was a really special memory. And I wondered if you would share something from your background of a memory or an experience or something that you've done with your family, either past or, you know, your new family.
Yeah, I think, so I grew up in Kansas, and so the rivers there are definitely a lot different than the rivers here. True. But I have so many fun memories from my childhood playing with my best friend just in our little creeks in through our town, that the Sand Creek that then flows into the Little Arkansas and then the Big Ark. Of course, we call it the Arkansas in Kansas, but but just so much fun on playing in these creeks and building little dams, catching minnows, and just splashing around in the summer. And I think for me that time by the water was so important. And
do you think it shaped kind of what you do, why it is that you do what you do now?
Yeah, I think definitely. I think as a kid, I probably didn't realize what I was learning, but now looking back, it really is that connection to your watershed and to the creatures and the different, noticing the different, after a rainstorm, the water comes up and all those little things that we were noticing as kids that now we all, as an adult, as someone working in restoration, it all comes together. And so I think that's so important, whether you're becoming a biologist or an ecologist, or if you're just a, someone who's a recreator or just anyone in the community, having those connections really helps you see the big picture of the watershed that you're a part of. And that's really special.
Yay. Well, that's what I was hoping to get a little bit of, just the personal, because we tend to think of people who work in water as these really scientific people, but you guys grew up just like we did, just running around outside. And I know that you and John don't necessarily live in Del Norte to get to see all the time how people are using the play wave, but there have been a lot. And I just talked to a guy today who has a house in Denver, but he was down here and he was asking lots of questions about, wow, it was so much more accessible than when he first moved or had a summer home in South Fork. And it was really cool to kind of feel like I was being the Del Norte Riverfront ambassador. I think maybe you should get me a t-shirt or something so I can be like,
oh, we have t-shirts.
I will answer your questions. Like, ask me, I'll tell you. But just wanted to let you know that the community is loving it, tourists and all of those who live here. So
yeah,
thank you.
It's been fun to, I try to get up there as often as I can. And we were up there on just a day or two ago, and there was a father-daughter pair fishing. There were a group of girls hanging out on the rocks, eating their lunch. There was a group of kids playing in the water. There was probably 10 or 15 kids playing in the water. So it was really fun to just see the whole diversity of the community out. And then a ton of people just walking the trails. And so it's bringing a lot of people together. It's cool.
Before we get back into our interview with Emma, I wanted to give a quick shout out to one of our biggest funders, an organization that is helping to make this podcast possible, which is the Colorado Water Conservation Board. And through some of their engagement grants and the opportunity to utilize some basin funding through the Rio Grande Basin, we are able to put together this podcast and have it sent out to you guys. So a great big thank you to the staff of the Colorado Water Conservation Board, their directors, and everyone in Colorado who has a vision for education and outreach and engagement across our state. And now we're going to get back into a little bit of our interview with Emma Reeser and discover some of the more technical aspects of the project and the work that it took to get it where it is today. It has been a really long time in the making. So I know that it got to start, like the idea of it was actually several years ago. So when did this idea even come up?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bethany. I think that really the conversation has been going on for a long time here in the San Luis Valley about how to connect people to the river and to create recreation opportunities really valley-wide. And the Del Norte Riverfront Project has come out of those conversations in a lot of ways, but was first identified actually back in 2008 with the Del Norte Trails Master Planning process that was done by the Del Norte Trails organization and the community there. And they identify the need for more trails, but also for river recreation access, as well as a potential whitewater park. And so really going back over,
gosh, that's been 10 years.
10 plus years ago was when it the first conversations were really happening. And then, you know, as the community started thinking more about these things, it really started to solidify as to what that would look like and how that would come to be.
It was kind of the jump start, I guess, with saying, okay, this might be a recreational hub for the San Luis Valley.
I think it really comes down to the fact that the Rio Grande flows through Del Norte and flows through the town, but there wasn't really access or infrastructure surrounding that. So people that did want to get out there and fish and boat were having to do it not necessarily using any formal access.
Hiking through bushes and having to kind of weed whack their way to the
yeah,
river.
Yeah, the boat ramp that most people used wasn't really an actual boat ramp. It was more of just a kind of easement with where CDOT kind of allowed people to put in, but it wasn't formalized. So I think it was more of a conversation of how can we create more recreation opportunities mm-hmm. for our local community, and the river is a resource that is right there in our backyard, but we don't have access to it. Because the valley floor is primarily privately owned, there really aren't a lot of public access mm-hmm. points, and the town of Del Norte had the opportunity to create that within the community, and I think that's really special.
Yeah, that is a good point, that people who maybe are moving into the valley or not as familiar with it maybe don't realize that once you hit past Del Norte, there's some interesting things happening with the river, with the diversions and like the drawing of water off for agriculture. It kind of slows things down so that by the time you get to the river at Alabosa, it's not moving quite as quickly.
Really, it comes down to where are there opportunities for public access and interest, and then also from a hydrology perspective and river perspective, where is there enough drop and slope within the river? And so Del Norte was a great place for that because there is enough slope on the river mm-hmm. that the engineers were able to design a structure that would create that wave, whereas in other flatter spots of the river, that might not be a reality.
Yeah, I think that's important to think about when people start thinking about, well, why is it here and not there, is that how the river itself moves is a big component.
Yeah, we definitely looked a lot at what other communities were doing and recognizing that we were taking what lessons learned from other communities and applying them to our community, because it really, we are a lot, in a lot of ways, it's quite different than Salida, mm-hmm. the river system and the community surrounding it. But I think one really fortunate thing is that we did have Chris Pitcher with Riverbend Engineering on our team as our project engineer, and he was involved in the play waves in Pagosa, mm-hmm. and so has a lot of experience and a lot of lessons learned from that area. So just that
that's helpful.
experience, and of course he did a lot of research, we did a lot of research to try to understand both what worked well and then also what didn't work as well, or mm-hmm. what were some of the things that happened in these other communities that then they needed to go back and repair or fix.
Yeah, because y'all did a lot of back work with the community, with having community meetings and design processes and allowing people to give their opinions on what elements they wanted included with the play wave. So it wasn't just, you know, the Rio Grande Headwaters Restoration Project and Del Norte Trails Organization and Chris Pitcher's, you know, just saying, oh, we're going to do this. It was really, because I was involved in a couple of those at least, and that was really cool. And
definitely. I think that was from the very beginning of the project. Well, even from the inception, it was a community-driven idea and interest. It was, and then the community of nights and events were really helped us understand what the community was looking for, and I think that was something that was really important, because at first we were really focused on the play wave and the river infrastructure piece, but mm-hmm. from talking to families in the community and other people, it was really, a lot of people just wanted to be able to get to the river and wade, swim, fish with their family, and so that really shifted our focus away from just it only being about the play wave, but also to being this multi-use space that families can enjoy with their kids.
So that leads me to wanting to ask a little bit about the technical elements. So when you just go out there and we have some people who've been out on those rocks and they're fishing or they're playing and maybe they're getting to body surf in the play wave itself, but there's a couple of other really specific elements that are around the play wave and things that people maybe don't realize that are out there and that you guys are really intentional with.
Yeah, definitely. The play wave itself was really designed to the structure that spans the whole river was really designed to be a multi-use structure. So it includes a concrete chute that creates that hydraulic wave that is what people want to get out there and surf mm-hmm. on your kayaks and surfboards.
Had
and
some
all
tubers
that.
Out there
tubers,
the other day.
Yeah. At low flows, you really can see that exact chute. It creates a standing wave that is designed for boating, and it's also designed to really function at a wide variety of flows, recognizing that we have high peak runoffs and then during mm-hmm. the rest of the summer lower flows. So in addition to wanting to make it a fun boating feature, we had to look at other needs, because the river didn't just want to look at only boating. Mm-hmm. There's lots of other aspects, so we wanted to look at improving the fishery and making sure that angling, that fishermen in the area could really continue to enjoy mm-hmm. the fishery there, because it's a great trout fishery.
And did y'all talk with CPW about that particular stretch of the river?
Yeah, we worked really closely with CPW. They helped us with the designs of so the project not only included the play wave, but also a bunch of fish habitat improvement structures. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to make sure that the play wave didn't create a fish barrier and prevented movement of trout going up and downstream. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we worked with CPW to make the play wave structure actually include a fish passage structure that allows not only for chub, but for smaller bodied fish as well. So really allows for a wide range of fish to be able to get up and downstream, kind of a series of rocks that help break up the water, and it's almost like a little waterfall mm-hmm. that goes down. And so that's actually the lowest spot in the structure. So in drought years, there'll always be water going down, and so fish will be able to get up and down even when we're not able to use it for boating.
Oh, nice.
It's a multi-use structure and something that allows for
a good collaboration between the environmental benefits and the recreational benefits. Because I think that's sometimes something that we can forget about, is when we're having fun on the river, that there's things that use that as their home. Like we get to leave it and they stay there. And if we are dragging rocks around, which I know when you guys did construction, there was a lot of that, you know, building of structures and concrete barriers and things that were getting moved around. And that can kind of disturb. So you guys did that during the winter.
But then also to make sure that we were doing the construction during low flow and not impacting other species like the southwestern willow flycatcher, which is a bird that depends on the willow habitat or surrounding the river. Mm-hmm. And that is nesting and around during the summer and fall. So we wanted to make sure we weren't impacting them.
Well, thank you for that. That's very, very kind of you guys to consider all the
very
living
important
creatures. But I was thinking about what the restoration project normally works on, and you guys have done a ton of work up and down the Rio Grande, and most recently with the stream management plan, and then with the Five Ditches project. And so you usually work a lot kind of under the radar, and there's not always a lot of people in the community that know exactly what it is that you guys do. And so this was one of your higher profile projects. Was that scary? How did that affect you as the executive director, having to kind of be more in the public eye with all of this?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good question. I think it was really rewarding in a lot of ways. You're right, Bethany, that most of our projects take place on private land. And even though it's out of the public eye, it really has a big public benefit, improving water quality and wildlife habitat. But
yeah, because it's benefiting the river as a whole, but they're not going out to that irrigation diversion necessarily to see the amazing, you know, concrete work or J-hooks that you guys have put in.
Exactly.
They're just seeing that the river is continuing to flow.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's been really fun and rewarding to get to work with the community of Del Norte. It's a really enthusiastic bunch, and I would say that for me, it's just been fun to get to know more of the community, to get to have those community nights and see the excitement and the passion that the community has for the river and for connecting with the natural resources around it. Something I have to remind myself is that anytime you're working with a community, an entire population.
Yeah, there's a few different viewpoints.
There's going to be a lot of different viewpoints. And so I think that's something we really worked hard to try to make, as again, the project meet multiple users, multiple needs. But it's going to be impossible to make everyone happy. And I think that's something that I've had to remind myself when you might have some people that have concerns. But, you know, I found that talking to anyone who has concerns, trying to understand their concerns, and then talking about the project with them, oftentimes we find out that we're actually working towards the same goal in the end. And so,
has it been really exciting now that the summer season has been going to see people using it? Have you gotten to go out there and like stick your toes in the water? And
yeah, I have. It's been really fun to see people just out having a blast. And even during construction, it was fun to see people walking along the trails, checking out what was going on. It's been really fun to see families and boaters and people tubing and just really taking full advantage. A lot of fishermen and women have been out.
Does that make you feel like you've accomplished what you were setting out to do? Like, yes, there are children who are jumping in the play wave, and yes, there are some boaters who are doing that. Does this make you feel like, yes, that was worth all the heartache and frustrations that you've had to deal with over the last 3 years at least or more?
Yeah, definitely worth it, I think. And just knowing that I'm going to be using that space as well. It's been fun to just go sit on the rocks, be by the river, and connect with the river in that way.
Take a deep breath and pat yourselves on the back. And, you know, it's something that's going to last for a while. I mean, it's not going to go away anytime soon. And
I think it's these collaborative projects that take the most time, but are ultimately the most rewarding. And so, again, you mentioned all the partners, and we couldn't have done it without the town of Del Norte.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and some of the funders, who are our major funders that helped to kind of get this going?
From everything from individual donors within the community all the way up to some pretty significant grants through the Great Outdoors Colorado and through Colorado Water Conservation Board and the Gates Family Foundation. So, yeah.
It's really great to see that the investment in the community is there, because sometimes $20 to one person can feel like a lot.
Well, yeah. And we needed it all to make it work. And local businesses, too. Really, the Windsor hosted all those community nights, and Three Barrel had the beer, which was great. And Del Norte Bank donated $5,000 towards helping make it happen. So, you know, we really couldn't have done it without all those. Yeah, just the whole network. It's awesome.
Some exciting recreation stuff to have. Projects like this that literally put us on the map.
Yeah, it's definitely the first play wave in the San Luis Valley, and I think it's a great opportunity for us to learn what how infrastructure and how these types of community led projects can benefit the community and connect people to the river and what the conversation's going on across the valley. And I think it's cool to have the Del Norte project as an example.
Well, thanks so much for your hard work on behalf of our community. And it's really great to sit down and talk with you about it and just kind of hear your thoughts on a close to completed project that is being really enjoyed. So
awesome. Thanks,
Emma.
Yeah, thank you, Bethany.
I also had the opportunity to spend some time out on the play wave and the river itself while I was getting ready for this podcast, and wanted to talk with the people who were using the space, fishing, swimming, splashing around on the rocks. And so here are a few of the community members, some people from out of state even, and people from around the state who were using the space. I spoke with a young mother named Larissa and her two young children, ages about 2 and 4, named Cisco and Amber, and talked with them about their use of the space.
A whole bunch of different people just swimming and
know this area of river really well then.
Yeah.
So, have you ever gotten into it before to this extent or?
Yeah, it's really nice. So.
Here.
Yeah, I feel like they are. They're just able to walk on this. Like, normally they were just scared to get in. And
they're looking pretty confident right now.
Yeah, so they're the owl. It would be so deep. So.
Yeah, and they have some friends, it looks like, some people that you know that are coming down here. And
yeah, that's our cousins. So I came and it was actually a nice day. And people didn't walk.
People fishing. And then just to the water.
Especially now that they opened it all up with all those trees.
With three young gentlemen going into the sixth grade at Del Norte, you want to tell me your names?
Landon.
Jeremiah.
Morgan.
So describe to me what you just did. What were you doing in the river?
We were going through the play lake. First, just going straight through it. It was so fun.
Landon, this is your first time going down the play. What did you think about it?
I thought it was fun.
Would you want to keep coming back and playing on this all summer for the next several years?
Yeah.
So along with the boys from Del Norte, we've also got one of the moms here, Emily McComas. She's also a teacher at Del Norte. So Emily, being part of the community, talk to me a little bit about what the play wave looks like for your family. How do you guys use it?
Well, for one, it's great because it's easily accessible, and we have used it during our rafting trips, and then we've used it as a place to come fish, and then also a place to come sit and be right next to the wave where the kids can play and you can put your feet in and just enjoy the river. But the accessibility is fantastic.
Do you guys see yourselves using this in the future though? Frequently, as long as you're in this area?
Absolutely. Like I said, the accessibility makes it great for my family. It makes it great. My parents are living here now and they're older, and it's easy for them to get out of the car and walk the path and enjoy the water like everybody else. And it's also something that would be a great place for a local field trip for my students, because again, it's close by and something that could be utilized for different activities.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome.
Thanks again for joining us on our first ever Big River podcast, Stories of the Rio Grande. I had so much fun talking to Emma, Larissa and her children, Emily, Morgan, Jeremiah, Landon, and others out at the Riverfront Project. I encourage you, wherever you are listening, to support the recreation spaces in your communities. We need those areas to enjoy ourselves mentally and physically. And creating and protecting spaces for recreation has such positive impacts for wildlife, soil health, forest health, not to mention human health. Connecting to our outdoor projects connects us to our greater watershed. So I hope that the next time you're out on a trail or the river, you think about the hard work that goes into maintaining them. If you'd like to learn more about the Rio Grande Basin's other projects, please visit our website, rgbrt.org. And of course, stay tuned for more podcasts about the Upper Rio Grande watershed here in the San Luis Valley. I'd like to leave you with a did you know moment, something to chew on as you go about the rest of your day. This fun fact comes from Heather Dutton, manager of the San Luis Valley Water Conservancy District. Heather thinks it's cool that we have the oldest water right in Colorado, the San Luis People's Ditch, the biggest irrigation ditch in Colorado, the Rio Grande Canal, the most snow in Colorado at Wolf Creek, and the least average annual precipitation in Center Colorado, all in one basin. I think that's pretty amazing too. Now go get outside.